Good evening. If you've got your Bible, you can turn with me to John chapter 13. If you're using the Pew Bible, that's page 900, John 13. Now, this is Maundy Thursday, the night that Jesus celebrated the Last Supper, the Passover meal with His disciples. Now, this year, I'm preaching from John 13, because after 10 years of doing Maundy Thursday sermons, it finally hit me that every year about four or five people ask me, what is Maundy Thursday? It comes from Jesus' final words to His disciples in John 13:34. It's the new mandate, a new command I give you. It is that word for command. And this night was a night that Jesus shared His final thoughts with His disciples. If you knew that your end was at hand and you only had a few hours left, what would you say? What would you do? How would you spend those final hours? Jesus spent them with His disciples, encouraging them in His mission, engendering in them call, establishing in them the wonder of His loving kindness. As His crucifixion neared, His final words were important. Final words are often important. Sometimes they are sublime. Sometimes they are comical. It was reported that on His deathbed, the great mathematician Sir Isaac Newton said these words, "I do not know what I may appear to the world, but to myself I seem only to have been a boy playing in the seashore, diverting myself to find smoother pebbles or prettier shells than the normal, while the whole ocean of truth lay undiscovered before me." Both Beethoven, in his final words, was reported to have said, "Pity, pity, too late." Oscar Wilde, who was living in a shabby parish flat, for his final words was reported to have said, "The wallpaper and I are in a duel to the death. One of us must go." A man who was some years ago executed, a man named James French, was reported to have said as his final words for those who were onlookers, many of who were the news from the local agencies, as he looked out to them, said, "Maybe tomorrow's headline should be French fries." I know it's a bad joke, isn't it, Barry? But no more important words were ever said than Jesus' final words. At the cross, Jesus' final words put death into a whole new light. "It is finished." No more important words have ever been said for us as regard to death and life. Because our life is by death, by the love of Christ. He comes, and tonight He commands us to be a people of that love, saturated in the love of Christ. In John 13, Jesus, as He is beginning to shape His final moments with His disciples, in verse 33, He says, "Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You will seek me, and just as I said to the Jews, so now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come." And here's the Maundy of Maundy Thursday. "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for the other." Now these words come in the midst of the Passover and in the midst of an act of service by the Savior. Jesus, upon receiving His disciples to a holy meal, took off His outer garment and took the place of a servant and washed their feet. Many of you will remember that Peter revolted and then asked for more because he was offended that he who was the highest in honor would sink to be the lowest in service. But that's exactly what the cross teaches us. The greatest tragedy becomes the greatest service that has the greatest reward for us. Jesus gives us a new command that we would love one another because we have been loved. He encourages us to a basin theology. Bruce Thielman was a longtime pastor of First Presbyterian Church in Pittsburgh. One evening after he had finished preaching, a man met him at the door and said, "You preachers, you all wax eloquently on giving and grace. But you know, it all comes down to basin theology." Thielman kind of scratched his head for a second and inquisitively said, "Basin theology?" He said, "Yeah, you know, basin theology." At the moment that he could have acquitted Jesus, Pilate called for the basin and he washed his hands of the whole situation. But at the moment of Jesus' impending death, he took the basin and washed his disciples' feet. Which basin will you use? Whose kingdom will you support? And here we have this picture of Jesus showing us the kind of love that lays down life and calls us to lay down our life for Him. Now notice here, it's, as Jesus said, it's a new command. A new command I give you. And many have questioned that. Is this really a new command from our Savior? I mean, it's a rooted command. Love's command is rooted. As a matter of fact, Jesus has said it before. When questioned about the greatest commandment, what was Jesus' response? The greatest commandment came from the Torah, from Deuteronomy 6. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength or all your muchness. And then the second one, said Jesus, is likewise from Leviticus 19. Love your neighbor as yourself. The concept of love was not new with Jesus. It was age old in God's creation and redemptive purposes for humanity. It was rooted. It was that which He took upon Himself to demonstrate the greatness and the goodness of God. His love displayed. Jesus shows us the heart of love. It is sacrificial, even as it is missional. It's not new in that it's something that had never been heard. No, it's new in the freshness or the depth and degree to which Jesus applies this command. It had always been God's goal to be first in humanity, to be loved. And for His new humanity, what we call Christianity, His new humanity, to love others well. But Jesus takes that on in a fresh new way in this mandate. Notice there, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. It's rooted in the Old Testament law, the reflection of the very nature of God, but it is fresh in this, that God Himself steps out of heaven and into earth to take sinful humanity upon His shoulders and to bear the awful cost of justice that love may be extended. And this is love, a dying sacrifice. There's a new dynamic to this love. When Jesus would speak about who a neighbor was, when he was asked by one expert in the law, he said that gospel love has a new dynamic. Who is my neighbor? And he told a story about a good Samaritan. Every good Jew knew that they were to love one another, but no good Jew wanted to love a Samaritan. They were outsiders and outcasts. They were nincompoops and less than. But Jesus, as He tells the command, He puts the expert in the law in the position where he has to see that even the one who is unlike me is my neighbor. Jesus died for His enemies. Jesus' death is missional. His death by love is missional. His extension to life was to every peoples, every nation, every tongues. Jesus came, literally, to save some from every part of this vast globe for His glory. It's a vast love. It's a new dynamic. The degree of Jesus' self-giving extends worldwide. But it's a love that has a new depth. When Jesus says, "You love as I love," when He says here, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another just as I have loved you," He is deepening the effects of how we are called to love our neighbor. Now, when I try to love you as I love myself, that's at one level. But when I try to love you as Jesus has loved me, trust me, that's a different level. Here is the love of the Savior that is on play. And I have to ask myself, and I have to ask you, is that even possible? But here's where the crucifixion matters. In our own strength, that kind of love is not possible. But Jesus' death on the cross has defeated sin and emboldened love in the heart of His followers. The curse has been crushed. The debt has been canceled. The enemy has been put aside so that His sacrifice for us might show through us. Jesus' love, a love with which He loved us to the end, is to be displayed because we rest wholly in Him. We focus wholly upon Him. If you look, it's repeated in these words, chapters 13 through 18 in John, in the Gospel of John, are all a reflection of His last evening teaching with His disciples. And so it's one pericope, one teaching to God's peoples and God's disciples. And in verse 12, He says this, again, reflecting on what we've just said. And in John 13, He says this in John 15:12, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone," the disciples don't see it yet, but Jesus is that someone, "that someone lays down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for I have heard from my Father, and I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask in my Father's name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you may love one another." Isn't that an awesome gift from our Savior? His love. His love that defeats sin's curse upon us, emboldens and enables us to rest in Him even as we serve one another. It's a whole new depth to Jesus' command. That's what's fresh, constantly fresh, about the goodness and grace of God. The controlling power of our sin is defeated in the cross and resurrection of Jesus, so that we can give ourselves because we have received from the One who gave supremely. And that's the love's demonstration. It, It's not only rooted, it's not only fresh in that we are called to be self-sacrificing. We are called to demonstrate the beauties of that. We're to put it into action. Why? Because Jesus put love into action. His love is the power station of our love. His love is what motivates our love. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for the other. It was C.S. Lewis who noted when it comes to love that we can't truly love somebody too much. We just love God too little. He said it this way. It is probably impossible to love any human being simply too much. We may love him too much in proportion to our love for God, but it is the smallness of our love for God, not the greatness of our love for man, that constitutes the inordinance. John would say it again, that we will be the best witness for our Savior in our communion with one another. That in this night, when Jesus lays down His life, He lays it down to transform a people like you and like me. That we might have His benediction of grace upon us and His love ever before the world. Maundy Thursday is a day when we remember and reflect and rejoice in what Jesus has done for us. That when we go out into the world and we celebrate Good Friday in a horrible death, the death of our Savior, the perfect one for us, we are reminded that we are a people who love in new ways. You know, you live in a world that says love is tolerance. Now, tolerance is a virtue in the minor category, but tolerant love, if you are enculturated, says that you let somebody do whatever they want, however they want, whenever they want. But the gospel says, no, we are a people of active love. We are committed to the glories of Christ and extending ourselves sacrificially in the family of God, to the community of God, and in the society of God for His glory. An active love is truthful. It has roots. But an active love is gracious. It extends love. You're going to give and give and give in God's world. And sometimes you're going to wonder, what's the benefit? And here's the glory of the cross. Jesus showed you the payout up front. You are His for an eternity. You can't love Him to pay Him back. You simply love Him. And it transforms you and your family and your church and the world around you. You can't love well by focusing on how you're going to love others. Focus on loving Christ, and then you'll love others well. The love of Christ compels us. We are servants of the love of Christ. When I graduated from Reformed Theological Seminary with a master's in marriage and family therapy, one of the things that was done in our program was there was a dinner before graduation night. There was a dinner where we were bestowed the towel. And each of our professors would stand and would charge us as we went into the world to be a people of basin theology. I still have my towel that Dr. Richardson handed me with a blessing as he charged me to go into the world for Jesus with the love and service, the cross and resurrection. You know, we remember death tonight and tomorrow. And we are charged to live with the love of Christ because His death is our life. And His death is the demonstration of His love for us. We can walk with hope. We can live with peace. And we can eat with thanksgiving. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we do come tonight And we're reminded in this ceremony of the towel that we are called to serve because we have been served. We are called to love because we have been loved. And we are called to go because you have freed us from the dominion of sin and the power of Satan, that we might be holy ambassadors of the genuine love of Christ. Help us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.